Next Lord's Day, we will have the opportunity to hear Brother Andy Irwin. He has been here before. He has had meetings here. He's spoken on our summer series. He's come and told us about the worldwide preacher training program that he is involved in and good works that he is doing. And he always has good messages. He's written, I believe, 9 or 10 books. There's a fine job in his books. He will have excellent lessons, and I know that you will be benefited from it. And anybody you would like to come, any friends, relatives, neighbors, co-workers, whoever it might be, invite them to come. A number of years ago, we had a man who had received 7 invitations from me. That's why he came, because he received 7 invitations. So even if you think, well, somebody would probably invite so-and-so or so-and-so, you invite them too. It doesn't hurt to get more than 1 invitation and to ask people to come. I know a number of years ago, somebody said, well, I don't invite people to gospel meetings because he had a friend who said, well, what is a gospel meeting? I don't know what that is. Because his friend didn't know what it was, this man stopped inviting people to meetings because he said, well, nobody knows. Well, that's not fair to say nobody knows. Just one friend didn't know. But it's easy to explain to anybody that it's just a time of special teaching, a speaker that we bring in to instruct, to help. Sometimes people have used the word revival. I don't use that word much myself, but some people have said, and people usually kind of identify with that. But I just tell them it's a special time, and they will be benefited by hearing Brother Andy Irwin. He has good lessons. He's a good man, and they would just benefit tremendously spiritually. Plus, be inviting people. There's still some more pads out of the foyer. And also, on the right side, there's a green sheet. And if you want to sign up to take Andy for dinner on Monday or Wednesday night, feel free to do that. He would be glad to share some time of fellowship with anybody. Taking to a restaurant, having in your homework, have a meal at the annex, whatever you want to do. But just look forward. And also, as importantly as anything, every one of us, every single day, should be praying for this meeting. And we should be asking God's blessing on Andy, as was done this morning, and also on anybody else that we know needs to respond to the gospel, either to be restored or to obey the gospel, that this meeting will make a difference in their lives. And we pray for Andy as he makes preparation for the meeting. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the time that we have together to worship, to do your will. We know, Father, that many times it is hard, many times it's difficult because the world has so much pressure on us. And the world is trying to get us away from you. The devil is doing everything he can to snatch us away from you. Help us to be strong in our faith. We continue to pray for the meeting, for Andy, for all the people we'll invite, people that will come on Sunday for our homecoming. We just pray for every person, every situation, that we'll do our best. Bless us this morning as we study your word. We pray in the name of Jesus and amen. This morning I'd like to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians for scripture reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to begin at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Paul said this, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But there must also be heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes before him, before the other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? And shame them which have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which Also I delivered unto you that the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you eat it, as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This weekend is Memorial Day in our country. Memorial Day started in America actually before the end of the Civil War. There were some ladies in Mississippi who gathered around a cemetery to honor the dead that had died in the war. Later on that spring, there was some ladies up in the state of New York in the month of May who gathered around a cemetery to remember the dead again in the war. And after time went on, several other places did the same thing, and it became pretty common in America. But it wasn't for many years later, until I think it was 1967, that it was actually declared a legal holiday every year across the country that we would give the last Monday in the month of May as a time to remember those who have given the lives to the service of our country. Now in November, we honor all veterans with Veterans Day, but Memorial Day specifically is to think about those who have died. Most of us have known of somebody, maybe we had some relative in our family, maybe we have heard stories about some relative that died in World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, or other conflicts. But we all realize the fact that there are thousands and thousands of veterans out there who were wounded and hurt because of war. And there are thousands of people who gave their very lives and died and are buried overseas because they gave their lives for our country. I hope all of us will take a moment tomorrow just think about the fact that we have freedom because men and women sacrificed their lives, and that there are husbands and wives, there are mothers and fathers, sons and daughters who did without a family member, a loved one, because they gave their life in the service of our country. And offer a prayer of thanks to God for these people who are willing to do that. And grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy because of this great, great blessing. Also, we want to think about that this morning in regard to our scripture reading, in regard to our lesson about remembering Jesus. It is a tragedy in life that people do forget. It was that way in the Old Testament. Jeremiah said, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride to her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Hosea said, see that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. It's true that God gave them several things to help them in their memory. He gave them feasts, the Passover. In Exodus 12 said, this day it shall be unto you for a memorial, that you will keep it as a feast unto the Lord. He gave them one day a week, the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, they were not to do any work. They were to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, he said, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. The whole idea of sitting down and worshiping was to remember and to keep this in memory. Other things God has done for a memorial. After the flood, God put a rainbow in the sky, and he said, this is a memorial, and I will remember that I will never destroy the earth again with a flood. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, Joshua set up stones as a memorial for his people. In the New Testament, we know that there is a memorial that we observe every first day of the week. We've just got it, where we ate the bread and we drank the fruit of the vine, where we thought about the Lord in eating the Lord's Supper. But there are several things we want to keep in mind in this memorial as we think about it. I read an article just a week or so ago that said the title of it was Two Memorial Days. And he said, in our country, we have a Memorial Day in May. He said, but in the church, we have a Memorial Day every first day of the week. And I like the way that man said it. Here are some of the things that we remember. First of all, when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now, some people don't like to hear about the death of Christ. Some translations of the Bible have even taken the word blood out of their translation. I think that's a terrible thing to do. But the death of Jesus was one of terrible, horrible humiliation. In fact, Isaiah prophesied it this way. He was despised and rejected of men. He says he was despised and we esteemed him not. The whole point is that Christ went through something that most of us will never go through, even if we die. Even if we die a horrible death, we don't go through what Christ went through. His death was one of the most horrible, terrible, awful things that had ever happened in the history of mankind. You have to remember that the whole idea of crucifixion wasn't to kill the person immediately. It was to kill them little by little, slowly as can be, so that they could suffer hours, days, sometimes even weeks in their death. But we have to also remember that the death of Jesus is a demonstration. It's a demonstration of the love of God. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5. He said, God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His death shows the love that God has. There are times when people say, well, I don't think God loves me. My life is so bad. My life is such a mess. I have so many bad things. And God can't love me. Yes, he does. You go back to the cross, you see God loves you. You think about the suffering on Calvary. God loves you. If you ever doubt it, if you ever question it, go back and remember, God loves you, and the cross proves that absolutely. Also, the way that God has provided for us is in the Lord's Supper. There are times when people don't take the Lord's Supper seriously, and that's a very, very sad thing. You just think about it. If your son or your daughter died for somebody, and on the day of the funeral, when you were thinking about this loved one that died, somebody was just thinking about where they were going for lunch, or they're thinking about what they're going to do with the vacation, or they're thinking about other things that are just not as important. How would you feel if in the middle of your son's or your daughter's funeral, when you are so broken up and you are so grieved and you're so sad, and all of a sudden somebody started giggling and started looking through their phone? What would you think about that? How hurt you would be if somebody did that in the middle of your child's funeral. Well, that's what happened sometimes when we take the Lord's Supper. People be scrolling through their phones. People be thinking about other things, thinking about where they're going for lunch, thinking about where they're going for vacation, what they're going to do on the rest of the afternoon. We need to think about the fact that that bread represents the body that hung on the cross, the body that's in pain, be racked in pain, because he had been tortured for 24 hours. He had no sleep for all that time. All that pain that he was going through. You think about when we take the fruit of the vine. That it represents the blood that was shed on that cross. I don't know how much blood Jesus shed, but I know he must have shed an awful lot. And the fact is, every drop of it was for the forgiveness of our sins. Every drop of it was so that we could go to heaven. Every drop of it so that you could have the guilt of sin removed from your heart, removed from your life. All of that done in the Lord's death. We remember his death in the sacrifice of Jesus. Not only that, but when we take the Lord's Supper, we are remembering the presence of Jesus. We have a word over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we don't use very much, and that's unfortunate. And that's the word communion. Paul talks about the communion of the blood of Christ, the communion of the body of Christ. That word communion really means the fellowship. It's not the designation just of the Lord's Supper, but it's really a word that often is translated fellowship. That is, we are sharing. That we are sharing something with Christ. He is present. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, the Lord is at hand. That doesn't mean he was about to come, but that he's near. And we feel that nearness when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Fact of the matter is, the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous, the ears are open to the prayers. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12. We need to remember the Hebrew writer says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, I'll be with you even to the end of the earth. All these passages show the fact that the Lord is near. He is present when we partake of the Lord's Supper. A number of years ago, Melvin had an uncle up in Sherwood, Tennessee. And he took the attendance of the church. One day the preacher came to him. They had about 30 at church that morning. And he said, "Lonnie, how many do we have today?" Lonnie said, "We had 30. The preacher said, "No, Lonnie, that's wrong. We had 31. Lonnie went through his numbers and said, No. We had 30. "No, we had 31. Lonnie looked at him and said, "No, we had 30. He said, "Lonnie, you forgot the Lord was present this morning. He's the 31. Lonnie, always remember that, to count the Lord as present as well. He is always here. We need to remember the presence of the Lord. We need to remember the presence of the Lord even in special times in our life when you're lonely and you feel loneliness. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." When you're tempted to sin, you need to remember the Lord was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. That the Lord went through temptation in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. The Lord knows what it is to fight Satan. There are special times in everybody's life you're going to need to remember the Lord is present with me on this occasion. Then not only that, not only do we remember the Lord's death and sacrifice, not only do we remember his presence, but we remember his words. This is something that liberals don't want to think about, and that is the very words that Christ spoke. Paul talked about that, says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So often we're trying to encourage people, read the Bible, because it is in finding the words that you will get the spiritual strength. You will understand the words that Jesus said. In fact, several times after the resurrection, it says they remembered his words. And we need to remember the words of Christ. "Take, eat, this is my body." And we need to remember the words of Jesus in all things. In Acts 20, verse 35, when he says, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." How wonderful it is to remember the Lord's words in all things that happen in life. Remember his words. This is what this memorial is all about. Every September, we have an event that happens across the state of Alabama. It's where people get on motorcycles, and I didn't know that there's over 900 of them. And they ride across the state of Alabama to recall the Trail of Tears. How the Cherokee people, exactly three different groups that came across the state of Alabama. Some came from southern Alabama all the way up the state, well, the entire state. But they do this to remember. I haven't been able to go out all the time every year, but several years I've tried to go out just to watch them and show them that they appreciate what they're doing. And I appreciate the whole thing of the Trail of Tears. Now, I'm not going to get into the political discussion about all the why and the wherefore and all the things that go involved in it. But there's something that's really important about the Trail of Tears to me. It is a memorial. Over in Dublin, Ireland, where my family came from, in Ireland, there is a memorial to the Trail of Tears. There is a large steel monument with feathers and like an Indian headdress that's over there as a memorial to the Trail of Tears. You might say, why would the Irish people make a memorial to a group of American Indians walking across the state of Alabama? It's because when those Native Americans, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, and the other tribes that were marching across the state of Alabama heard that there were Irish people starving in Ireland, that was true. It was a terrible, terrible, worst famine ever. They got and collected amongst the Cherokee people $170 and sent it to Ireland to buy food for the Irish people. Now that didn't solve all the problems. There were thousands of them that were starving. I don't know how much $170 would buy. But it bought some food for some people, and they probably gave it to the children so that they would survive during that famine. And after the famine was over, that's when the Irish people contributed and made this monument for the Trail of Tears in memory and thanksgiving for what those Native Americans did in helping to feed the Irish people. That's what we've got to remember, that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we've got to think this is a memorial to the death of our Savior. This is for us to think about how much God loves us, how much Jesus loved us, how much the early church love him by remembering and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We remember his words. It's so important that we remember the very words that he said. not only with this, but with all events that happen in the life of Jesus. And fourthly, we need to remember the Lord's coming. Paul said you should show forth his death till he comes. It is a shame that right now a large percentage, probably about 55, maybe 60%, of the preachers that graduate from theological seminaries in America do not believe in the second coming of Christ. They just think it's not going to happen. He hasn't come back for 2,000 years. He said he was going to come back. He hasn't come back. Well, he promised that he would come back. He said in John 14, if I go away, I will come again. When he comes, it is going to be a day of judgment. He talked about that in Matthew chapter 25. The only thing that is unknown is when is he coming? His coming is certain. In Matthew 24, he gave evidence that you can prove that he's going to come by the destruction of Jerusalem. He predicted that would happen. It did happen. And the Christians understood that just as Jesus prophesied that would happen, and it did, he promised that he would come back, and he will. And you have to keep that in mind, that he has made that promise. Now, he hasn't come in 2,000 years. That's true. But we don't know. It could be today. This could be the time. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. Maybe next week, next month, next year. I don't know. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But I know this, that when he comes, it's going to be a great day. When he comes, the dead are going to be raised. All those loved ones that you have buried in the cemeteries across the state of Alabama and in other states as well, on that day, every loved one you have is going to come up out of their grave. Every single one. No exception. Jesus promised that in Matthew chapter 5, that all the dead will be raised. Secondly, there will be a judgment. And all the evil that has happened in the world, and all the wickedness that has happened, and all the times people have thought they got away with things, they stole, they raped, and they murdered, and they did horrible, terrible, awful things to people. There can't be any justice in the world. Yes, there is. It will happen. When the Jesus comes back, there will be a judgment. And there will be justice on that day. And thirdly, there will be eternal destinies. Why we do everything we can to have gospel meetings and to print tracts and give out literature and to do all we can to help people understand the gospel. Why are we doing this? Because, in fact, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there's going to be a judgment. People are going to either be in heaven or they will be in hell. And on that day, destinies are going to be determined. People will hear the words of the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Or they're going to hear the words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Destinies are going to be. But the thing we have to remember is the love is coming. Paul talked about that at the very end of his life. He says that the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now it's going to be a great day. It's going to be an incredible day. It's going to be a miraculous day. The dead are going to be raised. The Christ is going to be in the air. The angels will be there. It's going to be an incredible day. This earth is going to be burned up. All those things are going to happen on that day. We love his appearing, because on that day, nobody's going to be able to argue their way out of it. Nobody's going to be able to say, I think I'll call my lawyer and get me off this thing. No. Nobody's going to say, well, it was my parents' fault. No. Can't do that. Can't blame your parents. Nobody's going to be able to say, well, it's society's fault. No, can't blame society. Everybody will give an account of his life, Paul says. We need to always keep that in mind. But that day is going to be the day that every word of the Bible will be proven true. On that day, Christ is going to be proven to be the very Son of God. On that day, everyone is going to look up in the sky and they're going to see him and the angels coming back. On that day, it's going to be the day when we will rejoice and say, yes, hallelujah, God is here. Christ is here. The Bible is true. The Word of God is actually proven true. And we love his appearing. We love that appearing because he said, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Now, it's a tragedy in life to be forgotten. People have said that many times soldiers have come back from war. They said that's probably the saddest thing to ever hear or to ever feel, that they were forgotten. Imagine what the Lord thinks if he sees in your life that you have forgotten. that remembering the body and the blood of Christ is just set it aside. It's not important. That's one of the things that we often tell people when they say that they haven't been to church a long time. You know, you need to come back and you need to remember the body and the blood of Christ. You need to remember the fact of what he did for you. He gave his body and his blood for you. He sacrificed himself for you. He died on the cross for you. You need to remember it. We're going to say, we will not forget. We will not forget his body. We will not forget his blood. We will not forget his sacrifice for us. Now we're going to sing the invitation hymn if anyone needs to respond to that. Yes, Jesus.
Believing in him as the Son of God and putting your sins in the faith of Christ, putting the one who will walk back. As a child of God, you need to rededicate your life. Why not do that today? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come and encourage you to come. We want you to come. Always stand upon the Son.